Welcome to Home Care Hot Seats with Kelly and Nicole, the exclusive podcast for home care owners by home care owners. I'm Kelly.
And I'm Nicole, two home care owners who live and breathe the challenges and triumphs of the industry every day. Join us as we dive into the latest happenings, innovative strategies, and the raw truth of balancing business with everyday life.
Whether you're a seasoned owner, a new entrepreneur, or just curious about the world of home care, you're in the right place.
So, welcome to all of our listeners. Kelly and I are here doing an interview with Greg Bean from Paradigm. We have had a couple of reschedules. We are so excited for this interview, though. There is so much information that I was not aware of until we actually got the opportunity to meet with Greg in Las Vegas, I believe.
Yes.
And made me an immediate customer of Paradigm. It was one of those, didn't really have to say much, just take my money, make my life and my staff's life so much easier.
Like fangirled his booth at the same time. Yes. Like,
I will say that the little jelly bean containers, I still have one I cannot get open. I just carry it around in my bag. They give away jelly beans in these little like jelly bean containers. They are the hardest things to get open. I have two, one from Vegas, one from Atlanta, and cannot get the Vegas one open. So now it's just a little trinket that rides around in my bag.
Because it's Greg Bean. It has to be jelly beans.
I will have to get you a new one that you can get open. I will get one sent over.
Now it's just a little keepsake. I think of Las Vegas and that meeting every time that I like hear it jingling and I grab it on accident. And every once in a while I grab it and I try to open it and I don't know what it is. It's probably all banged up and it's never opening now since it's been riding in my bag for 6 months.
You are a real fan of jelly beans, then you would have just found a way to open it. I think I devoured mine while Greg was talking at the Las Vegas conference.
So to kind of give a quick overview on my part, what we have really benefited from when it comes to Paradigm is I think everybody, well, not everybody, but those of us are the intelligent ones. We know that the VA piece is kind of our golden egg and everybody's wanting to get in with the VA. And a lot of folks kind of stumble and walking through that process and the credentialing and the billing, because let's just be honest, the billing is a very daunting task for the VA when billing comes into play. That piece has been absolutely huge for my business. It's been something that we've been able to take off of the plate of some of our admin staff and myself as well. I remember there was one day right after we met in Las Vegas, it was a Saturday. And I was like, all right, I got to get some billing done. It was an entire Saturday from like 9 a.m. to about 4 p.m. It took me to do VA billing. And it was after I got done with that, I was like, that's it. There is nothing, no money that is too much. I am paying Paradigm whatever they want me to pay them to do this billing, because I am not giving up another Saturday just for VA billing. So from my humble little agency to you, Greg, and your entire team, thank you so much for all of the stress that you have taken off of our plate. For anybody that might not know about Paradigm, one, they've been living under a rock and just not involved in home care enough. But can you give an overview for anybody out there that might not know what Paradigm is, what you guys do, what your focus is, and how you have really become a benefit to home care agencies across the U.S.?
Absolutely. So actually, how about if I jump in and tell you a little bit about me first?
I mean, okay? We can do that. Absolutely. Too. I think that's a great place to start.
Because I want to talk a little bit about what drives my passion and why I'm so passionate about helping veterans. Because I think at the end of the, we can talk about how agencies can connect with billing and how you guys have this great opportunity to provide more care and so on and so forth. But my passion is as a disabled vet, why it's so important that we educate veterans and we educate the public and we educate the world on the opportunity for veterans within the system. So when I got to the military in 1985, we won't talk about age or hair grayness or any of the rest of those things. I had had multiple surgeries on my legs when I was in the military, but I enjoyed what I was doing, running, jumping, doing things in the Navy. I didn't want to change my profession. So I stayed in, I rehabbed, and I continued to do what I was doing. Went to go back to school. Somebody told me, hey, did you know your school could be paid for by the VA if you have a certain disability level? So I went back and was evaluated and received a benefit from the military because of my disability. And so I have that opportunity. But with that being said, that was in 1985. I couldn't go to the VA hospital or get treatment or get care or get services from the VA other than for my legs, even though I was a disabled vet. So if I went to go to the VA hospital or to go to care, it didn't count. Nobody cared. It wasn't a piece of what I could get for services. 2011 comes along, Congress changed this law and says, if you're a disabled veteran, you can have all VA health benefits. But guess what didn't happen? The VA didn't pick up the phone and call Greg and said, hey, Greg, did you know now if you hurt your back or if you have a diabetes or if you have a problem or a stroke or a broken hip or whatever, you can go to the VA. None of those things. So 2011 changes. Now I can have it. Now we have 18.5 million veterans in the United States. 18.5 million veterans in the United States. 8 million plus over the age of 65. And another 8 million that have disabilities. And we're only receiving home care benefits for 165,000 veterans in the entire system, in the entire country.
That is a shame.
And so what can we do in this education and orientation and training and expectation, both for your podcast, but also from Hope Care companies across the country, to expand and actually educate people that this is a benefit to help them keep their independence and stay home and better their life by a day, by an hour, by a week? How do we actually benefit veterans and keep them independent at home? And we do that through home care. So my job, yes, I love helping agencies get enrolled. I help doing all the things that we're going to talk about Paradigm can do. But the reality is that none of that matters if we're not helping this massively underserved population of veterans.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I love his passion. I mean, Greg, I've heard you talk before about your background, and you can tell when somebody loves what they do and when they feel driven by what they do. And you are one of those people. I mean, you can just tell that you are passionate about veterans, that you have lived and breathed this. And I love that. I love that.
So I came to Paradigm 2 years ago. Working for a large franchise network, and I got invited over to come to work for Paradigm. And you said, you know, so an overview of Paradigm. So I get a call from like the owner of this company, and when I'm working at another agency, and says, hey, I have this amazing platform that can help solve all the issues that are going on with billing with the VA. And I'm like, well, what does that mean? So back in the day, you provided services, you sent your bill over to the local VA hospital. They ran through and made sure that the auth matched everything on paper. You could only bill once a month. It all got sent over by fax. Then they faxed it all off to San Antonio, Texas, or to Dallas, Fort Worth, or wherever the processing center was in Texas. And then they cut a bill. And if one line item was wrong within that fax and that number and that timesheet, they denied the whole bill and the whole client. And then they would kick it back and it would be denied. And then you had to turn around and you had to resubmit, but they didn't tell you which shift was wrong or which piece was wrong. It was just wrong.
So
you had to resubmit the bill. So then you resubmit the bill, and then they have to, you know, now all of a sudden you're 180 days out and they have a timely filing rule. And they're saying, oh, you didn't file your claims in timely. You're like, wait a minute, I filed them 5 times now. They're like, but if you didn't file it correctly, it wasn't a filed claim. So they just denied people. So people were hundreds of thousands and back in billing, and it was a fiasco. People stopped doing care for the VA. Agencies were just, they wouldn't take veteran clients.
Wow.
So Paradigm came along and we're able to automate these processes for people. And we were able to automate, but then the community care networks came into place and we have TriWest and Optum, which now automate the processes and they take on the billing for the VA. But because of what Paradigm really does, we, first off, help agencies to get into the network. But once they're in the network, what do they do? And how does this work? You have this process. We want to be paid timely. We have to pay our caregivers each week. All those things happen. We're able to get agencies paid timely. We're able to take the back office burden away so that when you close payroll, whatever AMS system you're using, whether you're using a big one, a small one, the things that are going on in the country, we can log in on your behalf. We can pull that information. We match it up to authorizations and we drop the bills across. And of course, if you're on the in the eastern two-thirds of the United States, you're paid within 5 days. If you're in the west, you might get paid in 10 days, but you're still paid within a two-week period, consistently, error-free, ongoing. And that's kind of what we do. But then we go through and we manage your authorization. So I can keep going on how we have brought this all together to alleviate the administrative burden and say, okay, I don't have a whole have to have a whole FTE chasing down my money. I'm being paid timely, and this is what's going on. But then my department, from education and business development and the pieces along that line, we want to be able to now take you as agencies and as individuals out to that next level of connecting you with veterans. So we talk about marketing action plans and we talk about growth opportunities and we talk about the needs of the veterans and where the veterans are and how they can get this. So now we incorporate education back into you as an agency to help you actually grow that number and build that business. And as it grows and builds, you still don't have to increase your administrative burden. It's still take easier. So more money, less headache, more veterans served. Really can't think of a better opportunity than to use Paradigm to accomplish those.
Kind of a no-brainer.
I mean, really, it was the easiest decision. Mm-hmm. I'm one of the stories of people who were on that waiting list for years until I engaged with Paradigm. You know, we talk to people all the time who were trying to get credentialed through the VA system. And we sat on that list for 2 years before we were able to get through. And it was because of Paradigm. I saw no traction until engaging with them.
So about 18 months ago, I actually saw this as a massive problem and went to Optum and had conversations with Optum, some of the leadership associated with Optum. And we had a great relationship with TriWest already and said, look, we can credential for you. All these people are backlogged. Everybody's stuck in this backlog state or what we they can't move forward. We can't help to get them move forward. And they kind of like, we're like, you can actually do this. So we engaged with a certified credentialing company. We became an MSO ourselves. So we're able to credential on your behalf for them through to the system to drop you into the actual credentialing process through Optum, which then connects you through to become contract with United Healthcare and push it back out. So a big piece of our bringing you on board is actually helping you to get through that stumbling block and also identifying with you what might be an area where they don't have any more needs for home care companies, because one of the challenges would be, you know, I mean, some of our larger metro cities, they have so many providers and network that the hospitals are saying, we don't want anymore. And we'll kind of get into that with some of the challenges, but understanding that where the remote areas are and how to actually provide service back to veterans is a big piece from an educational standpoint of how you were talking about this. Oh, it took me so long to get in, but once you're in, what do you do then?
Right.
Right.
Where do you go and where are veterans and how do we get veterans? I think that's one of the key benefits of Paradigm as a company. And that's how we actually helped our internal growth of organizations working with us to grow by over $200 million in billing last year.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I know when I met you in Las Vegas, we were credentialed with the VA, but we had very few actual VA clients. It was, we might have had a handful, if that. And once we became credentialed, or we went through, got set up with Paradigm, it was without much effort on our part. We just, like, referrals just started coming, and we're like, we haven't really, like, we haven't even initiated our marketing tactics yet for 2024. Our goal in 2024 is to have a VA specific line and have a line that serves only our veterans.
Yes.
And so I have this whole marketing plan rolled out, and I'm like, I haven't even done anything yet. This is amazing.
You don't even need it.
And here's I will tell you. You have this marketing plan in place. I'd be reaching out to Greg before you started down this path and say, what do you think of my plan? And what can we do to enhance it? And I'd reach out to Greg Bean and I'd say, Greg, let's enhance this plan beyond what we've already figured. Because one of the benefits of working with agencies in all 50 states is I can tell you what works.
Yeah.
No, no, it doesn't always work. But when you're talking, you know, hey, you have an opportunity when you're talking to 40, 50 providers week in and week out over years' time, you understand what's really working to assist veterans in getting care. Again, we go right back to, yes, it's helping your agency, but we're incorporating more and more veterans into this by pushing from the outside in and incorporating our marketing efforts to having veterans understand they have eligibility of benefit and bringing them back to you, which of course helps you to grow, which means I get to grow.
Right, right. And I know even just from the little conversation we had in Las Vegas, I kind of bent your ear on one veteran in particular we were kind of struggling with, and he had so much more of a need than what he was getting. And just from the conversations that you and I had, we were able to come back and advocate with him and on his behalf, and we've been able to get his hours increased. So he's getting a much more appropriate authorization for his care. Through some of the things that you had suggested that we do.
Yeah. And I think that becomes one of the biggest challenges of becoming a VA provider is, oh, it's a short hour case, or they're not. Now, typically the rates are higher. They're higher than most of our private pay rates, and it's a significant increase, but they're short hours and veterans don't get enough care. And I would use a specific case study right to your point. I got a call, a client in one of the Midwest states. Literally, the agent called me and said, Greg, what do I do? I have a veteran that can only get 9 hours a week of service, and he's literally crawling around his house because he can't get himself in his wheelchair.
Mm-hmm.
And we went out, and he's crawling on the floor because he can't get up and get his bed. Think about that. I mean,
yeah.
Think about how that actually looks, sounds, the not just the optics, but how horrific is that, that we actually have a veteran crawling around to serve our country, provided yeah. services for us, is now a part of our culture, our life, our world, and he's crawling around on them.
Yeah.
So we talk to them, and they're in a clinical state where they have a supervisor that's a clinician who went out and did a comprehensive assessment. Assessed his needs. What are they having to do on a daily basis? What is he getting on a daily basis? Why is he getting on a daily basis? And how can we fix and correct that? And they put that in writing. Hmm. And they sent that to his primary care physician at the VA. The physician was appalled.
Yeah, I bet.
Think about it. I mean, the physician
I
was
bet.
Appalled. So yeah. Now that same client is getting morning care and evening care to get him up and to get him settled 7 days a week. And he's getting
he
6 hours a day, 3 hours in the morning, 3 hours every evening, 7 days a week to provide him with the up and down and the abilities to get. And you know what? Is it enough? Maybe not. Should he probably get more than 6 hours a day? But the reality is that it allows him to be functional in his home and in his capacity and in his life to get up and to be clean and to eat and get in and out of a chair and do things that he wasn't able to do. But the advocacy on part of that home care agency stepped them up to the next level.
That's awesome.
That is goodness.
So talking about some of the unique challenges and opportunities, what are some of the, since we're on that train, we'll just kind of continue down that challenges and opportunities train for a second. Can you share some insights into the unique challenges and opportunities in handling the billing processes for some of our home care agencies in relation to the Veterans Affairs and their struggles?
Yeah, so you know, some of the challenges that we see typically are you'll get an authorization. And the authorization for that client says up to 20 hours a week.
Yes.
It says it right on top. 20 hours a week you care. But then you have a case manager in Wisconsin or Minnesota or whichever one of these places it might be, who decides that he really only needs 6 hours. Are they using some kind of a special formula? Are they using some kind of a crystal globe that creates this opportunity? No. Most of the time, it's created around whatever that VA hospital has created budget they want to use for their veterans.
Huh.
Now, okay. The VA a couple of years ago created an automated tool that they're supposed to be able to take this information, plug in their disability level, plug in their ICD-10 codes, which is what you use to decide like diagnosis codes within Medicare and so on, and it spits out how many hours per week they're supposed to get. That's how they create the 20 hours a week. That's how they create the 40 hours a week. That's how they create up to 56 hours a week when you see this written into an authorization. That's created around the needs created by coding by the VA. That's why you might see an authorization that says up to 168 hours a week.
Yes.
But then you have the magic ball that's being created by the local VA hospital, which says, no, we only want to budget 6 hours a week into these care. So we're only going to give 6 hours a week, no matter whether the client is deathly ill or has to crawl in and out of their chair. We're only going to allocate this much money into home care. That's not the VA's policy. That's an individualized policy by VA hospitals. And when we met with Washington, D.C. a year ago last March, and we had this conversation and we were doing an advocacy and we met with them, they said, we have a tool in place they're all supposed to use. We just haven't had the resources to force them all to be trained in how to use it.
Nice.
Well, so when we're seeing, and because I think any of us that have served the veteran community, Kelly and I know we have, and I know that our listeners have as well. So when we're going into these homes and we're seeing the level of need and the disproportionate amount of approved hours, what is your suggestion or recommendation for these agencies to advocate? How do we advocate for our veterans that need more?
That's a great question. And it actually falls right into what you can do to advocate for your veterans. There's kind of a two-step phase or approach to this. And when we met and had conversations with the VA, they said, we want veterans and families advocating on their own behalf. Mm-hmm. So at every VA hospital, there is a veterans liaison, okay? That's a third-party person advocate. It's actually called the VA's advocate, veterans advocate. If you go on to every VA hospital's homepage, right on their homepage, there's a blue box about halfway down that. And it says Veterans Advocate. Click on the link and it gives you the names, phone numbers, and communication at the hospital for the advocate. That advocate is there to advocate for the veteran and the family and how to work to increase their hours and their needs and services being provided. That's one piece. But even beyond that, the thing that I've seen to be the most effective and goes right in line with what Paradigm's trying to help you to do in billing is advocate back through the primary care physician and case management with a comprehensive assessment of the client's needs. So whether you're a clinician doing that comprehensive assessment or whether you're the director or the owner or the case manager of an organization, when I say a comprehensive assessment, that doesn't mean Bill needs more hours because he just isn't enough care. If you tell me that, I'm going to scoff at you and I'm not going to make any changes in his care. the way it is.
Yeah.
Well, when I come to the physician and I come to the physician and I come to the case manager, and with that, what I'm telling them is I assessed him and he's had 12 more falls this week and he's needing more help in eating and he's not able to use his right arm, or he's, you know, I found him soiled 27 times when we've gone in. All those things that I can document specific to where an increase in allocated hours will improve his quality of life, his longevity of home, and keep him out of a facility and keep his dignity and keep all the things that we can actually provide back to the, he just provided service, whether it was 2 years, 10 years, or 25 years back to this country. And now we're saying, you're worth 6 hours a week.
Right.
No. We can actually show that through our advocacy and through our assessment, pushing that back to both the case manager and the private physician, because when the primary care physician from the VA writes an order and says, this person needs 20 hours per week, that's a physician's order for 20 hours a week. It's not up to, or, hey, we want home care. We're ordering specific needs of the client associated around the assessed needs.
That's great information. And I know it was a question as I was talking to other home care agency owners, and mentioned that we're going to be talking to you. They were like, ask this question. And so it wasn't on like my list of pre-prepared questions, but we kind of walked right into it. So I'm glad. And I know that our listeners were wondering the same thing, as I think all of us have walked into scenarios and seen just there's such a higher level of need, and not knowing, I guess, where to advocate or where to spend our time and our energy advocating for our veterans. So I think it provides clarity.
Yeah. And one of the things that I really push people to understand is it's our responsibility as an agency, as a home care, as society, to advocate on these people's behalf. The only thing I caution people on, and I try to make this a real point to as part of this advocacy piece, not every veteran needs more time.
Right.
When they're getting 6 hours a week. We have veterans that get 40 hours a week and they say, I don't want somebody in my house that often. Yeah. So when you're doing advocacy, advocate for people that have needs and be genuine and force the issue to get their needs met. And I think that's so vital when we're talking about this, is to drive home why we're doing it, is to make sure that these people are getting the care they need.
For sure. And a few minutes ago, you mentioned something about going to Washington, D.C. and doing some advocacy work out in D.C. So let's talk about the Elizabeth Dole Act for a minute. There was, you know, lots and lots of information being out there at the end of the year, and lots of excitement about the Elizabeth Dole Act possibly being passed. What anticipated changes do you expect to see from this Elizabeth Dole Act for our veterans?
Let me give you a couple of positives about the Elizabeth Dole Act. So one of the positive pieces about the Elizabeth Dole Act is right now, home care is only allocated up to 65% of facility cost for a veteran into the home care environment. So once they reach the threshold greater than 65% of in-home cost or facility cost, then they would have to be placed and they can't use home care. Elizabeth Dole Act gives 100% of that benefit of cost. Okay. The average hours per client in the VA are 11 hours per week.
Wow.
The average hours for home care or in-home, the average hours for facility care in a veteran's home is $355 per day. So in most cases, that's between 8 and 10 hours per day of care that's being paid for, and we're getting that many hours per week.
Right.
So they're saying we have this amazing raise from 65 to 100%, but we're getting less than 25% of benefit now. So who really cares if we get to 100 versus 65%? Not to be horribly negative, but what I would like to have seen them say in the Dole Act is you are mandated to give 65% of cost to veterans as an average into home care. And you're mandated now to give 100% rather than we're actually allowing for 20% or 15% cost. And we're going to say we're going to raise it to 100 because we're not close to 100%.
Okay.
Right.
Now, one of the positives is the Homemaker Home Health Aid and Respite program within the health system right now is a program that's been adopted by and is a part of the VA's health system and it's in place. And just like some hospitals only budget 6 hours a day, some hospitals give as many as the client needs and 40 hours a week or whatever that might be. This bill codifies the Homemaker Home Health Aid Respite into law, which means it has to be funded, which could positively impact that because now they're saying they have to actually fund the hospitals for the benefit. And are they going to fund the benefit up to the allocation of the number? If that happens, it's a very positive piece of legislation.
Right.
But it doesn't spell it out that way. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Yeah.
So when you think about it, so if they actually utilize the idea that they're going to force that up, with that being said, the Elizabeth Dole Act also says that in underserved areas, hospitals have an opportunity to actually create their own home care environment and provide the services out of their facility on a test basis and so on. We've already got two VAMCs in the United States that are literally contacting their providers, telling them they're no longer getting referrals, and they have people calling the home health aides working with the veterans and asking them to come to work for the hospital.
What?
What?
Yes. And that's written into the Dole Act.
See, these are the points that they, when they're like throwing this as this great thing, these are the things not being talked about. These are the things that home care owners need to be talking about is, oh my gosh,
So when we went to Advocacy Day last year, the first time the Dole Act had actually been read to the board members for HCOA was the day before Advocacy Day. And not one of the board members actually wanted to advocate and put it into for advocacy within the Washington, D.C. They were talking about how horrific the act is.
Oh, my goodness.
So there does create, it expands the veteran-directed care, which is where the veteran gets to choose their own caregiver and paid directly. It expands the family caregiver program, which is where the family member gets paid directly by the VA to be the provider of care. And allow for a consumer-driven model away from agencies. So it expands those two programs and funds them back into the VA hospital. So it's funding care outside of the agency model. And it's literally allowing for hospitals to become their own home care and provide services back to the veterans and hire private caregivers to provide this service. And not literally two of the hospitals have been telling their long-term providers that have caregivers available. The idea of it was if you have horribly remote areas where they can't get agencies to provide care, the hospital can say, we'll assist by providing this service. But the reality is that they have, you know, we already know that many of the VA hospitals operate under their own thoughts and processes, and whether you want to call it going rogue or however you want to look at it, there's already two that we know of, in fact, that are already creating programs and literally having recruiters call the client's caregiver that's with them with an agency today and asking them to come to work for the VA direct. Mind you, higher pay, VA benefits, federal employee.
Right.
What caregiver's not going to go to work for them?
Right.
They'd be crazy not to.
Correct. So those are pieces of that bill that I find, again, There's two pieces that I think are really strong. One is codifying law, which funding the program, which if they actually fund it, enforce it, and create an opportunity is a great place to be. The second is if they genuinely went up to 100% of the $355 a day, which is the average cost of placement, and they gave that to veterans to provide home care services, I think that would be fantastic. Within the law, they've created an opportunity for third-party providers to be the aggregator for the veteran directed care and the family caregiver program, where they can like manage the billing and the pay to them. Mm-hmm. Home care was mm-hmm. not allowed as one of the aggregators for that. It's separate third party pieces. That's not home care to hire those family members and or do the veteran directed care to be partial pay and or work with them for that payment source. Home care was not allowed as one of the, we asked to be one of those aggregators and we were turned down.
Even Medicaid does that.
Correct.
Oh my gosh.
So from an overall standpoint, a couple of things positive. But overall,
maybe.
Well, again, when we look at, oh, my gosh, we could have more funding. We could. Well, we could lose a whole bunch of funding, depending upon how you look at it.
It's like everything else from Washington, right? It's the little fine print. The big stuff on the top makes it look all bright and shiny. And then the little stuff at the bottom.
Well, caveats, the really positives grow back into our pocket. But from a home care standpoint, the only thing that it drastically assists with is going to 100% of funding and codifying into law the platform that they're supposed to fund it, which is the Homemaker Home Health Aid and Respite Program through the Community Care Network.
Okay.
Well, I can, not to speak for you, Kelly, but based on your face, it's probably exactly what my brain is thinking, going, what in the world? This is just one more hurdle for home care agencies potentially. That's down the road. Oh,
why
my
did we
God.
Not expect it, though? You know, like, it has to be with everything.
We
else,
were so
right?
excited
for us.
So excited. Like, this is going to be a great thing. And yeah. then, like, all the air is out of our sails.
Deflate. Thanks, Greg.
Sorry.
That's all right.
That's my opinion of what I read into the bill and what I've seen. There might be more positives. There might be things that actually come up that are positive. So I'm not saying that my way is right or my opinion is correct versus right. somebody else's. But my interpretive of the significant potential challenges to home care are incredibly relevant to the mm-hmm. services we're providing in the home care industry.
Right. Yeah, and I think yeah. that piece where, you know, the 65%, I think what was missing from that conversation is that right now they're not being reimbursed at the 65%. So that's great that right. they could be reimbursed up to the 100%. But if we're not even at 65% right now, we're not necessarily going to get to that 100% reimbursement anytime soon.
We made the assumption yeah. that it was going to be 100%.
Yeah. Just so you also know that 100% is home care, which also moves into home health, which means right. that they're getting skilled nursing right. and PE and speech and all the rest of those wonderful opportunities. It all falls under that same 100% of home care versus facility costs. So it's not just private duty. Oh my gosh, my home health aides are going to get now 100% or $355 a day for benefit. That's all home care services. So it's a much
right.
bigger.
Right.
Mm. So, keeping with the dynamic nature of healthcare policies, how does Paradigm stay up to date and adapt its services to ensure that they're being compliant with efficiency with the VA and billings?
Yeah, so I think one of the things that Paradigm does incredibly well is stays on top of everything that's happening, from rate changes, zip code changes, things that are changing with what they call the SEOC or the service authorization mm-hmm. code. I'm not a big one on acronyms, but when we start talking about what does that look like? So a good example would be, we were kind of talking earlier about the, I like to call it the 26 rule in my own little mind. You get up to 20 hours, but you only get six, right? So many of our providers immediately, when they go into their account management system or their EMR or whatever it might be, they see that up to 20 hours. So they put 20 hours in, and that's what they think they can provide. But they don't read into that authorization what the actual service authorization is within the coding or the written piece with inside of that. So one of the things that Paradigm really scrutinizes and makes sure of is that we're meeting that 6-hour ruling piece, and that's what we're putting into authorization. So when you create a billing, and I don't care what AMS or EMR or whatever you want to call your account management system is, and you drop that, our team, when we pull that information, scrubs it against the actual authorization. But when we're putting that authorization in, it pulls out those irregularities of it's 6 hours, it's 9 hours, it's 5 hours. And so even if you miss that in your system, we're going to come back and show, hey, you billed over 5 hours. Or did you know you're consistently billing under hours? We actually see people that consistently, oh, well, the person only wanted 6 hours a week, but, and that's what the scheduler put in or whatever else it might be. But the authorization actually did call for 20 hours a week. So we have a dashboard built in for each and every owner that can actually go in and look and see, we billed under hours, we billed over hours, and we can actually stop irregularities and overpayments before they happen. So rather than getting a rejected bill or a recoup after the fact that's outside of authorization, which is not being created, we stop that ahead of time. The other thing is automating of the reauthorization process. So when we talk about technology, we put all of the authorizations into the system. They're created in our system and in your system. But when we go and say, oh, Mr. Smith, his authorization's running out in 60 days, we pre-print and create that reauthorization request. We send that to you. If it stays like it is and it's not needing to change, it tells you, DocuSign it. We'll upload it back to the VA and complete the reauthorization process without ever having to touch it. So think of that administrative burden around now trying to chase down whether the case manager's uploaded it into the health management system of the VA, whether the case manager signed it and sent it back timely. We follow up and follow through on all those processes from reauthorization. It keeps from having a veteran losing service or because they don't have an auth, or you not getting paid because you provided care without an auth. So we eliminate that miss of service, both on the veteran's benefit, but also for yours on the backside of it from an authorization standpoint.
Yeah, I know we had an incident recently where Paradigm completely saved our butt. We had a case manager who called us just all up in arms. I was ready. It was one of those days I was ready just to burn the agency to the ground and walk away. I was so frustrated. But case manager called and accused us of overbilling hours for this veteran. And she was going to do a full-on investigation and was going to stop referrals to us and all this other stuff. And I was like, whoa, 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 hold on. I've got Paradigm. We are not overbilling. Nothing is for sure. But when we called Paradigm and talked with our account manager, they're like, yeah, hold on. Here's the info. And we were right on track with exactly what we were billing. And it was a matter of like, I had this immediate reaction of, oh my God, they're going to shut us down. We're going to have to pay all this money back if we actually overbilled. And because the VA has a great reimbursement rate. That's why we like them. And I was like, oh my God, all this money I'm going to have to pay back. But it was literally a 10-minute conversation and a quick report to verify. And we were right on track with exactly what we were doing. It was probably one of like the highest and lowest emotional roller coasters I had been on as of recently, not being in daily operations of my business. When that happened, my team came to me and they're like, the VA is saying that they're going to investigate us. And I was like, hey, what? We're going to fix this issue. I was like, you get Paradigm on the phone. And it was a matter of 30 minutes. And the issue was, the case manager doesn't talk to us anymore. She's mad at us, but that's neither here nor there. I hope she doesn't listen to this.
So, kind of going down that same idea and thought of hours over, hours under, whatever it might be. One of the challenges that comes in when people are providing this care and understanding it, you have a staffing coordinator who always wants to pay their caregiver because they enjoy them. They do an amazing job. And if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't have a business in the first place. So when they work 15 minutes over or they work 15 minutes under, we want to make sure that we keep them whole and we pay them. but it has to work out within the authorization. So sometimes that falls into a bill and not pay, whatever it might be. The other thing is that the VA follows very specific rounding rules according to CMS. So if you're within 7 minutes on the downside, your bill's actually rolling down, even though your caregiver is going to expect to get paid for that 4 minutes up or 7 minutes up. So you have to be cognizant. So one of the things that Paradigm very strictly looks at is rounding down and rounding up according to CMS rules. So you might actually get a notice that says, hey, look, you were authorized 5 hours, but your bill dropped for 5 hours and 25 minutes. You can't bill the 25 minutes. And some owners, I will have to tell you, some owners will tell us, bill it anyway. And we'll say, and you'll get it rejected. And they get rejected.
Wow.
And then they want to know why they didn't get paid. You'd be amazed at how some people say, I'm going to call the case manager because my caregiver worked over it. I'm going to force them to pay me the 15 minutes. They're not going to do it. I've never seen it happen. No. I know some people have amazing relationships with the case manager and they'll get them to say, I'll give you a half an hour because the client did this or that. Typically, no, you're out of luck. So I would tell people, stick to your authorization. Make sure that when you're rounding up and rounding down, you're very specific to keeping within compliance. And you know, one of the things that Paradigm has created associated around that is a complete compliance platform around VA compliance. So if you're a provider with Paradigm and you go into our education portal, there's an entire compliance code on VA compliance and what to do and not to do and why to, how to. It's already built into our system that you can go see all the do's and don'ts and whys about billing within the VA's health system and authorization.
Yeah, I will say the educational portal that Paradigm has. So when you go into this industry, you open an agency, you have no idea what you're doing. You have no idea how to bill. For a lot of us, we don't necessarily start with the billing for the VA. We didn't start billing for the VA or servicing VA clients probably until 3 years in. So everything that I knew was kind of like a fumble and fail through working with a lot of our Medicaid clients. So now as I'm training staff and having, you know, bringing in specific billers or care coordinators or different roles, being able to have them access that training on Paradigm's portal of, you know, what is expected, what is right, what is wrong, that has been, I mean, that was saved years. That was like things I was messing up on over and over with my Medicaid. I was like, had I had this in the beginning, I would have saved myself so many rejected claims. I didn't know what I was doing. And I'm sure that there's other agency owners out there that are like, I just send a bill and I hope what I bill, they pay me. And what they don't, I just chalk it off as I messed up.
Right. So you know, it's kind of comical when you talked about your Medicaid billing. And I know we're talking VA, but when you go down the Medicaid path, when you start talking about EVV, which is your electronic visit verification, mm-hmm. and you're talking about your account management systems, and I'm not naming them because I'm not pitching for one or the other or whatever mm-hmm. it might be, but they don't talk back and forth between the state's coding aggregator that pays the bill and themselves. So I will use an example. One of the largest providers in the country, when you create a two-hour shift and it sends it across to the aggregator, it sends a two-hour shift over. But your caregiver worked 2.5 hours, which was actually inside of your authorization. It was allowed. So you put a corrective code in and you did the bill and you sent the bill over for 2.5 because it was actually authorized. But your initial thing that went over to the state said 2 hours and it doesn't talk back and correct it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you don't pull the report from the state side and the site from your side and match them up and do a coding correction to increase or decrease the hours, it rejects it.
Yes.
We automate that process for you. That's one of the things Paradigm does with Medicaid to be a beautiful piece of billing Medicaid is we've taken that entire burden off. So when we pass our claims through, they pass through corrected on the front end, so that you're not dealing off of rejection sheets and having to go back through and do everything corrected on the back end to do a correction on the back. So we do that mm-hmm. on the front end for you. So that's a piece of what Paradigm does as far as technology-wise to automate processes within Medicaid billing.
Yeah. And I know a lot of this interview has been focused on the VA piece, but I think that's a piece that maybe people might not recognize that Paradigm does is working with the Medicaid and that Medicaid billing to help keep them compliant with their Medicaid standards. So are there other things that we've talked about with Paradigm that our audience should be aware of that they do? Because I don't think that even until just now, I thought, oh, we need to talk about the Medicaid piece too.
So within the Medicaid platform, we actually do enrollment assistance for people wanting to become enrolled in Medicaid and actually doing Medicaid. So much like we do credentialing for the VA, we do enrollment support and have a tool put in place that we can actually go through and show you, hey, I'm interested in Medicaid. Greg, reach out to Greg, contact Greg. We can get you in touch with one of our team. They can go through, oh, you're in Pennsylvania. Well, there's four regions in Pennsylvania and there's 16 MCOs servicing those four regions. And you have to get certified or credentialed with each of those MCOs in your region to actually build the programs up. How much do the programs pay? Which program do you want to be doing and be credentialed? And we can break that down within the Medicaid platform across the United States and assist with comprehensive enrollment assistance, where we actually fill out all of your enrollment and enroll you not only in Medicaid, but also with the MCOs in those Medicaid states. We also can tell you which MCOs are not accepting any new authorizations or any new, or which ones only do open enrollment in June, or they want to re-enroll, or you have to reapply in June. We know all of that from the Medicaid standpoint to assist people. And then, of course, the matching up and the corrective billing and dropping your billing correctly and getting you paid timely and ongoing consistent pay within the Medicaid space. We do those matchings and cover the entire platform of Medicaid billing.
That's awesome.
Amazing. So how does Paradigm envision its role evolving in the technology space, either with the VA, Medicaid? What are some technology evolvements that we can look forward to seeing from Paradigm?
Yeah, so I think you know, a couple of the big pieces that are involved in Paradigm is we work diligently with a significant number of account management systems to automate these processes and we continue to enhance that platform over and over again, working with aggregators, which is the state person processing your Medicaid claims, to aggregate those claims and to pay the bills within the Medicaid space, enhancing our partnerships and arrangements with each and all of those so that we have the ability to, again, automate claims back through and do this. And, you know, it's kind of funny. A lot of times when we take on a new state or we take on a new MCO or we take on a new provider, that actually might be a manual process that we're taking on and we're learning, and it's a manual process. Even though it's automated for you, it might be a manual process. But we have an incredibly robust, built out, solid, aggressive software platform team that then creates the appropriate alignment of that billing to match up to your needs, so you're never missing a bill. So rather than trying to fit a square peg into a round hole of this fits every Medicaid platform and this fits every MCO, we take everyone on individualized and then build out off of that platform and create an opportunity to make it a streamlined process for you and automate your processes.
That's amazing. I don't know if anybody else. So we're a big Medicaid agency. And so for anybody listening that is wanting to get into the Medicaid world, it is a daunting task if you are doing it independently or on your own. And like Greg said, it can be a manual process for us to go through that credentialing process. So if there's anybody that's thinking about Medicaid and getting into those MCOs, you're crazy not to use this service and this program, because I remember doing it when I started and I had no idea what I was doing. I was checking boxes. I was answering questions with what I thought they wanted to hear. So this can literally change the trajectory of agencies, because they don't have to spend the time and the man hours trying to navigate this process on their own. Because I think a lot of people don't come in understanding the difference in, or even how to get started with these things.
Well, and you have rates and programs and waivers. And when you talk about waivers, some waivers you want to do, some you don't want to do. Some become incredibly high maintenance administrative burdens to work under. Yes. that that piece. So whether you're using an automated billing process, sometimes there's an incredibly high back end requirement of supervision and oversight of things that fall under the different waivers. So understanding what those are and being knowledgeable for you before you go down that rabbit hole genuinely helps. The other thing is, you know, I have a client, and I would use a great example that came to me last April, and they're doing 5,000 hours of Medicaid a week. Mm-hmm. They're in a state that has three different MCOs, and mm-hmm. every one of the MCOs is using a different aggregator to drop their billing. So literally, they had two people working full-time on spreadsheets fixing rejections every single week.
Welcome to Michigan. Yes.
So we have taken over that billing. It'll be 2 years in May, and we have not missed a single billing or a rejection on their Medicaid in over 5,000 hours a week.
Wow.
That is amazing.
With three different aggregators, multi-MCOs, huge number of hours, and our team has been able to balance that team. And in that particular instance, that owner was so appreciative. They actually repurposed both of those staff and are growing their business. They were actually able to one move into a recruiting role, the other one moved into a different role, and they're actually expanding their business and growing because of this massive, they didn't lose jobs. They grew their business more. So think about that. It's not always about replacing staff. It's about how can I take that burden away to allow you to grow and expand. And if I can grow your business, obviously Paradigm gets paid because we bill services and we get paid for billing services. We don't get paid for education. We don't get paid for enrollments. We don't get paid for all those things. We are a billing company. We get paid on the billing end. So the more you bill, the better it is for me. So my purpose in life is to grow your business, and the bigger and the stronger and the better I make your business, the better it makes my business. So with that being said, just so you know, I actually do one-on-one calls with offices as well as owners on a weekly, ongoing, daily basis. I even do evening calls consistently with entire office staffs where they'll say, hey, everybody's going to be here at 5. We all want to know about VA benefits so that anybody picking up the phone knows how to help a veteran. I do those all the time. And I'm more than happy to do that with any agency, anytime, to help them and expand and understand and assist them in that platform as they grow their business. We're physically supporting enrollments in 26 states where we're doing the entire enrollment process, every single MCO. We're bringing on about four new, we support all of them for billing, but enrollments, we do complete comprehensive support for 26. And we're expecting to have by June all 50 states with a full enrollment platform. We'll still help with enrollment. We still have an entire tool built out to say, oh, you're going to have to go with UnitedHealthcare. You're going to have to do this and you have to do this. You may have to go apply on your own, but we can show you what to do. But for 26, we do it for you. As of today, it grows a 4 months.
That's amazing. All right. It's going to change. It's going to help so many agencies out there. So I guess to leave our listeners with, like, what is one piece of advice you would give home care agency owners that are seeking to be more efficient or effective with their billing or the VA process? What can you leave them with?
So I would tell you that if you're not diversifying in today's world and looking at that opportunity, whether you're using, you know, one of the largest companies out there on the planet that says 26% of home care hours are down in the private pay world year over year, or whether you're using Greg speaking to 3,000 agencies a year, the reality is that private duty, even though it's the backbone, it's the necessity, it's the requirement of what we do. Private duty home care is only 7% of the hours being provided in the private duty market. Private pay is only 7%. So if you're not diversifying, understanding how that works, I would use a great example and I would use a specific number. So I'm going to use this and kind of break it down. My simplest way of looking at it, I have the exact same burden on a private pay 20-hour a week client that I have on a 40-hour a week Medicaid client. because I have a caregiver going 40 hours a week. I have a caregiver going 20 hours a week. I still have to manage the client. I have to supervise the client. I have to pay the caregiver. All the things go. If my gross profit on a private pay client is $10 an hour, then I'm going to have a $200 client. If my gross profit is $5 an hour on my Medicaid client, I still have a $200 client. So I know a lot of people like to try to tell you volume doesn't make up the difference, but it genuinely does.
Yes, it does.
Because if you're only running your business off of gross margin, you're falling into a pit. And I would use an example of a company I worked with last year. I was having a conversation. I was on a state call with a group. I've got a guy doing 7,000 hours a week of personal care Medicaid, and he's running his office with four staff on 7,000 hours a week. Doesn't have a single private pay client.
Wow.
He's running his office and his margins are at about 33%.
Mm-hmm.
A member on that call was belligerently bashing him on how he can't run his office on 33% margin. It's not good. It's not business. It's not practice. The gentleman looked where we're looking on this phone call, looked at him in the thing and said, I would rather have my 33% of 7,000 hours a week than your 50% of 500.
Yep. I have said that myself because we're primarily Medicaid.
So as I look at this and I think, what do? We have to diversify. I think private pay is the mainstay of our business. It needs to be the focal point of home care and private pay clients and helping people. But there's $250 billion in long-term supportive services, private pay adult services in this country today. So the Medicaid budget for long-term supportive services, which is hourly care for adults, this has nothing to do with facility costs or doctors, is $250 billion in this country. $250 billion. The VA, right, is $8 billion.
Yeah.
You start adding all these pieces together, Medicaid is over 60% of our national budget for private duty home care.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're not taking a piece of that pie and you're not expanding into the market, what are you leaving on the table as a growth opportunity within your organization? So I don't care if you're doing it as a 10% margin of your or 10% of your business platform or 30%. I don't think putting all of your eggs in a basket and expecting if you're sitting, I just did a breakdown with an owner with five offices, Central US. I went to their office, spent 3 days with their office staff and their directors and so on for this owner who has five offices. He had 127 admissions in private pay in 2023. He had 125 discharges.
Mm-hmm.
He had 84 veterans and he has 80 veterans. So the longevity of the private pay client is less than 12 months.
Yeah.
The longevity of the VA client is 2 to 3 years. And the longevity of a Medicaid client is 3 to 5 years. So if you don't have turnover of client and you have longevity of hours and you have consistency, guess what you have? Work for caregivers. So I want to retain a caregiver. I have to pay them. I have to give them hours and I have to be nice to them. And if I do those three things, they don't go to a different agency.
Right.
And we don't lose them to big box stores. That's a mythological, oh, they went to Amazon because they're paying 20. No, they didn't. They went to the agency down the street because they gave them 50 cents more, or they had a client a mile closer to their house and they gave them 40 hours a week. That's why they left and went to the other agency. It wasn't because, we have caregivers that say, I wouldn't leave my client for all the money in the world. I love them. You couldn't get me to leave them for anything. And then that agency down the street called them and they said, hey, I have a client that's around the corner for your house and I'll give you an extra buck an hour. Peace out. Sorry, Mrs. Smith. You're the most amazing caregiver client ever, but I have to take care of my family because I'm a $12 an hour employee and $40 a week is my power bill.
Yep.
Plus my car payment, plus feeding my children. I can't do that. So we're talking about a population base that's working, maybe they're 15 an hour. I don't care. Maybe it's not 12, maybe it's 17 an hour. The reality is that dollar makes all the difference in their world. Yes. Whereas many people think, oh, well, that's not that much money. It really can be. It can be the difference between whether they make their rent.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
Understanding that and giving them hours and giving them work. So having clients and having a continuous influx of clients and flow of clients is how we retain and how we grow our business. And if you want to grow today, diversify, have a platform like Paradigm in place, which now allows you to take off that administrative burden, which has been the big challenge of maybe not diversifying in the past. And you can grow your business. You can expand your portfolio. Whether you're doing it to help more people in the community, to help our veterans, to help our underprivileged, whether that's your reason for doing your business, or if your reason you're for doing your business is because you're about a dollar and you're trying to grow and you're an entrepreneur and you're doing this to grow your money, both of those affect that.
Yes.
Right. And you can't do one without the other. So diversify, grow, expand your portfolio, and you make a better place in home care for clients and caregivers.
Absolutely. So, Greg, how does somebody get in touch with you, or how do they reach out to Paradigm?
Yeah, so one of two ways. They can reach out to me directly. It's greg@paradigmseniors.com.
We'll put that in the
show notes. I'm more than happy to route them to whomever and whatever. Or they can reach right out to support@paradigmseniors.com, spelled out. And that will create a ticket and it'll go through to the correct department, to the correct sales, whomever you want to be. I would tell you, please feel free to reach out to me directly. I'm more than happy to route them through to the appropriate party. Typically, I'll have a conversation with you first so I can like engage and understand where you're coming from, what you want, how we can help you. And then before passing you off to a salesperson that's going to send you a contract, I'd rather engage and actually have a conversation about how we can benefit to be a part of your organization and expand your portfolio before we just drop it into a sales call.
Awesome. 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 Greg, thank you so much for being here. Thank you for all the information and knowledge on behalf of Kelly and I, on behalf of all of our listeners. We appreciate your time and everything that you're doing for our seniors and for all of us agency owners. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I appreciate your time.
Thanks, Greg.
Thanks for joining us on Home Care Hot Seats with Kelly and Nicole. We hope today's session has given you insight, inspiration, and a sense of community in this ever-evolving journey of home care ownership. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast and share it with other fellow home care agency professionals.
Have a topic you want us to discuss or a story to share? Reach out to us and join the conversation. You'll find the links and contact info you need in the show notes below. We'll see you next time. Same time, same place. Bye for now.